The pandemic and the George Floyd protests that followed brought to a boil everything that was wrong with the restaurant industry in Philadelphia, issues that had been simmering for a long time.
I saw an immense amount of sexual harassment, racism, just general abuse.
Now, as COVID has cut into restaurants' razor-thin profit margins, workers are demanding change. Why has the pandemic forced some restaurants to rethink their business model and culture? And what could that mean for diners? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Wash. Alex Tufik is the food editor at Philadelphia Magazine. Before he started writing about food, he worked in the industry for a decade.
I was an ice cream scooper at Friendly's, and then when I moved to Philly for college, I started working in the Philadelphia dining scene. So I started on the main line at a brunchery called Du Jour, which is no longer there. But then I moved into the Stephen Starr universe from there, and then I hopped around between little tiny independently owned restaurants throughout the city.
Got you. And so you wrote in your article that even when you were working, the industry had these fundamental problems. What kind of things did you observe?
You know, I saw firsthand everything from verbal abuse to like exploitation, expecting people to go above and beyond without paying them what it takes to go above and beyond. It's full of every ism you can imagine in the restaurant industry. But it's... On top of that, I mean, it's also like a really fun work environment. I mean, every restaurant is a team. And I would even say it's like it's similar to sports. You're all sort of like you have this one vision as a team to get like the night over, and you work together, and it's people from all backgrounds. I mean, different countries, different socioeconomic statuses, different like, you know, neighborhoods in Philly. They would all come together to be on this one tiny little team in a restaurant. There was always this sort of tension between having fun, having sort of like a different job every single day. That would be propped up against all sorts of, you know, abuse and sexual harassment and racism and all sorts of things like that.
Tell me about the pay, because, you know, when we hear, you know, stories about how workers are exploited, that's really kind of the first thing we hear.
Right.
Is about the pay inequities.
So the restaurant industry was sort of built on this model that it's front of house servers, which is, you know, made up at least 50% of the staff, usually. Those people would be paid by the customers of the business in tips. And that was the way it's set up. So therefore, the owners who make very little money don't have to pay 50% of their staff. They sort of push that onto the customer. So then the owners, all they have to do is pay for their back of house employees, basically. When you go into the back of the house, things get really weird. So you get dishwashers making minimum wage, cooks who are making an hourly wage, who are traditionally expected to work longer hours than they're making money for. And then there are undocumented workers, which make up a huge part of the restaurant industry, who are making sometimes less than minimum wage under the table in cash. So you're seeing like this huge discrepancy between the front and back of the house, which many times leads to a lot of tension in restaurants, which many times leads to a lot of abuse in restaurants.
So you saw all these problems, and they've been ongoing, and then COVID happens and shuts everything down in March, and you see restaurants closing right and left, and then in June, something pops up on your Instagram feed.
Right. An account called Philly Food Workers was one of the suggested Instagram accounts on my feed. I mean, basically, it was a place where industry workers could go and sort of air their grievances to the world publicly, but in an anonymous way.
The chef owner is absolutely a revered figure in the industry, as well as to guests and fans of his restaurants and cookbooks. But behind the scenes, he acts like a childish frat boy.
If you go into the post and you look at the caption, his name is never mentioned, but the geotag of that post was Zahav. So then you just put two and two together and you're like, oh, I know exactly who we're talking about here. And then under that, in the comments, you see people like talking about their experiences in those restaurants.
Huh.
It became this really you know, thousands of people follow it now. And it's like a big rumor mill that is full of things that were sort of kept in the dark for many, many years.
Did the restaurant workers take any other actions besides posting on social media?
Yeah, they organized. So I will say, from my personal standpoint, as somebody who worked in the industry and then as somebody who's written about the industry for a few years now, I never thought that this would happen. I never thought that we would get to a point where workers would sort of like address the issues themselves. You know, the system was you work your ass off in the back of the house and you move up or you go on to open your own business, which was like a really amazing sort of story to tell ourselves. But once the pandemic came and ripped everything to shreds, everyone was stuck at home. They looked at the industry in the eyes for the first time and they were like, wait, this isn't right. Why are we stuck at home right now? We shouldn't be stuck at home. Why don't I have healthcare to cover my health in a pandemic? Why is that all gone all of a sudden? And that in itself propelled a bunch of workers, industry workers in the city, to organize among themselves. In West Philly, Dock Street Brewery, their employees or former employees even went as far as to picket outside the restaurant. They formed a coalition. They made a list of demands and they stood outside the restaurant and picketed it. That started popping up throughout the city. Workers at different restaurants uniting together, organizing together, and sending their ownership lists of demands. Because now we're in a position where the owners needed the employees, and the employees didn't exactly need the owners because the owners never really paid the employees. They were making more money getting unemployment than they were working in restaurants. So they now had the power and they wielded it. They used it and they started making all these demands, and Dock Street had a really hard time, and then they eventually had to succumb to like bumping up the hourly wage across the company so that back of house was making as much as front of house, stuff like that.
When we come back,
I do not think it should be only on the restaurant owners. I think that dining culture has to change too.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Alex Tufik, Philly Mag's food editor, about restaurant workers organizing and demanding better pay and equity from their employers. Is it possible to create the kind of workplace workers are demanding?
I will say I'm seeing like early stages of something new in Philadelphia. So there's a restaurant owner slash developer in Philly. His name is Carrie Borish. He opened a restaurant called Martha in Kensington.
I would say it's a super casual place. I would say that it is very creative and artsy in the kind of gestalt of the space.
It's this really cool, like, local everything bar, sandwiches, natural wines, blah, blah, blah. And Martha, during the pandemic, when the quarantines were still in effect, went into a no-tipping model. They would automatically put 20% tip. They would just attach it to every check.
And what's the idea behind that, Alex?
So instead of that money going to the front of house employees as tips, the business will absorb that money and pay it out fairly to all of its employees, front and back of house, with the added benefit of healthcare.
It's a system that really, in an ideal world, needs to be reimagined. And that's what we're trying to do.
So Martha became a no-tipping restaurant. And we've seen, I think, one, maybe two restaurants in Philly history do that. And they both, it didn't really work out for them. Either the restaurant closed or they, you know, reverted back to the tipping model, but it didn't really work. So, you know, Martha is giving it another try.
And now we're getting ready to open up a restaurant called Sally on Fittler Square.
So there's this new restaurant called Sally it is opening with this sort of revolutionary model where, you know, it's very collaborative. Everyone's sort of sharing responsibilities.
We're really trying to reimagine the restaurant business and deconstruct it from a power dynamic perspective on how can we make this work in a more healthy way, in a sense of how does everybody get heard? How does everybody have a voice? How does everybody get a livable wage? And that's from the back of the house to the front of the house.
It was described to me as like almost like a co-op model. There's no hierarchy. If you run a kitchen without hierarchy, how can one person have, you know, any more power than the other, right? And power is usually what leads to abuse.
I do think this is the time to push forward and reimagine the industry. And I think there's a lot of support out there to do it. I also think that there's a lot of people under tremendous pressure right now. And so it may not be the best time for many restaurants that are just struggling to keep their doors open to think about these types of more conceptual things.
It seems like there's been a really good response to it, but restaurants that are trailblazers in an industry that very much values the status quo are going to have a hard time.
Right. So, you know, we're going through this pandemic and, you know, all that aside, change business models aside, how many restaurants do you think are going to make it through this pandemic even to think about trying a new model, let alone doing one?
I think we're going to see a lot of restaurants close that we love. It's going to be a lot of heartbreak.
There are some people in the industry who say that 80% of the restaurants in Philly will close.
80%? Wow.
Yeah, 80. It's really doomsday. I mean, I talked to some chefs and restaurant owners in the city, and they don't have a plan for winter. I mean, the restaurants right now are relying on takeout and outdoor dining. Outdoor dining probably more so than takeout, especially because we have those like streeteries and we have like little patios that they can essentially move their dining rooms outside. They're hoping to make enough money in the summertime or in the, you know, good weather season where they could hold out until, you know, make it out of winter. But winter is going to be really tough. And I think that we're going to see a lot of restaurants that we love close.
So that being said, Alex, do you think it's a lot to ask of a restaurant that's barely scraping by and is on life support to make the major changes that the workers are demanding to how they structure their business?
I do not think it should be only on the restaurant owners. I think that dining culture has to change too. I think we need to start expecting to pay, you know, $50 for entrees and $25 for apps. I think we need to like really expect to pay a lot more to dine out, which makes going out to eat, you know, more of a theater and more of a, you know, big deal, which I think goes against what we've built in the last, you know, two decades, which is casual, once a week kind of restaurants. Those are going to be at odds with the prices that are necessary to make a restaurant a fair and equitable business.
Hmm. That's so interesting. So you think that going out to eat should be a special occasion kind of thing?
I do. I mean, that's what it used to be. It used to be a special occasion thing, and then it turned into a going to the movies thing. And I think that's where things sort of went awry. Chefs are charging the same amount of money for, you know, their apps and entrees that they were 10 years ago, even though the price of everything has gone up. They're charging the same amount because they're scared that people won't, you know, come to their restaurants. So to change that, chefs are going to have to start charging the right price for their product. Restaurants are going to have to charge pricing their entire business model in a way that will sustain a fair business. And then customers are going to have to be willing to pay those prices. That's a cultural shift. You're going to have to change your entire mindset. Philly's going to have to change its entire mindset when it comes to this stuff.
But because of the pandemic, do you think it could shift? Not only because workers are asking for more, but because the pandemic is forcing us to rethink things. Could we end up with places more like Martha?
I hope so. You know, I'm skeptical to have a positive outlook on where this is going because the restaurant industry was never built for change. When the pandemic first hit Philadelphia, you know, it was only supposed to be here for a month. And the kind of overhaul that the industry needs would never be able to, like, happen in a month. You would have to burn it down and start it over. And that takes, I mean, in my opinion, years. So I didn't think we were going to get to a point where the workers finally sort of organized. I didn't think we were going to get to that point. And then when it started happening, I was like, wait a second, there's a movement happening. So the fact that people are trying to make change right now is a huge thing. It's the sign of, like, you know, better days.
Thank you so much for joining us to talk about this.
Thanks for having me.
That was Philly Mag food editor Alex Tufik. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Sabrina Boyd Circa, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday.